What's shaking, Red Nation? This is Jeremy Brenner with another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets, at SBNation.com. And today is the second part of our nine-part series looking at all of the potential prospects the team could possibly get with the number 17 pick, or maybe if they decide to jump back into that second round. There's a lot that the team can do with that 17th pick. We talked about a couple of guys that the team could get if they were to even trade up, trade down, keep it 17. So go check out our most recent episode Mike and I did together. And because this episode's going on a Monday, it's all me today. So we have an interesting group of prospects to talk about today. All three of these guys that we're going to be discussing were members of G League Ignite this past season. And I think that the Rockets drafting Jalen Green last year, along with them signing Dacian Nix, they have their hands in the cookie jar over with G League Ignite. And they have proven already that they appreciate the development that they do. And that's why I think that there could be one of these guys there at number 17. And we'll talk about all three, of course. There's one out of these three that I feel stronger about for the Rockets than the other two. But let's just start off with the person that's expected to go first off the board, which is Dyson Daniels. Dyson Daniels has been flying up these mock drafts in these last couple of weeks. And he's from Australia. I believe he's like a 6'7", 6'8 guard. I think, yes, he was 6'6", and then during the draft process, he jumped up from 6'6", 6'8", which I think is also why he's moving up these mock drafts, because a 6'8 point guard that can pass the ball, that can defend multiple positions, that can score is valuable, but a 6'8 guard, that's a little bit more valuable. I can't lie. But I think that Dyson Daniels is going to be off the board before the Rockets are going to be able to pick again. Now, could the Rockets trade down, maybe go get Dyson Daniels? Sure. Yeah, it's possible. But also, Dyson Daniels does not fit what the Rockets need. I think that the fit that he, given the direction the Rockets are going in right now, I just don't feel like Dyson Daniels fits that. Teams that he could go to that I could see, I think the Knicks are a very interesting spot for him. I think that he could be like a lead guard there. I think New York is probably the best spot for a guy like Dyson Daniels. Portland at 7 is probably the highest I've seen him go. But there's a chance that maybe Indiana, I could see Indiana maybe making a move for him if they don't feel as strongly about Shaedon Sharpe. You know, because I think people are expecting Shaedon Sharpe to go in that 5 to 7 range. But there's a lot of question marks around Shaedon Sharpe. And there's a lot of question marks around Dyson Daniels, too. Don't get me wrong, but I think Dyson Daniels has a little bit more upside. And we've seen him play against NBA talents before. And he's proven, he's proven to hold his own. And he was in the G League Showcase, the All-Star Rookie Challenge, the Rookie Sophomore Challenge. They added in a couple of the G League Ignite players, and he was one of them. He was on Alpi and Jay Sean Tate's winning team. So he's being billed as this, you know, future star in the league. And I think he could be if he's in the right position. I just don't feel like the Rockets are that position, or in that position to be that for Dyson Daniels. But I really like New York as a spot for him. I think that could really turn into something good for the Knicks. I think another place that he could – I really like New Orleans for him as well. I think if you place him in the backcourt next to CJ McCollum, that could be a dangerous little duo there with Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, JV, and maybe Zion when he comes back. That's a scary bunch. And – I think Dyson Daniels could be really good in the league. Like, I hate using this comparison for him. He reminds me a lot of Josh Giddey. And I'm not saying that just because he is they're both from Australia, but they do check off a lot of the same boxes. Is someone that can, you know, is a great passer, big enough to grab these rebounds, can lead the team in transition, can score. That is kind of my player comp for Dyson Daniels is a Josh Giddey. And there's a lot of limitless potential with Josh Giddey as well in Oklahoma. So I think Dyson Daniels is in that same, it should be in that same conversation, I'll say. So Dyson Daniels, though, the one thing that I can say about him that I feel confident in is that he's not going to be in Houston. So I think it's time to kind of move on. I don't want to make this too long of a podcast. I'm recording this on Sunday about 45 minutes before the NBA Finals. So I don't want to talk too much about it because by the time this goes out, Game 2 will have already been played. So I don't know the outcome of Game 2 yet, but Game 1 was pretty exciting. Hopefully that will set the tone for the six games to follow, or the five games to follow, now that you're listening to this after you know the Game 2 result. But yeah, Boston won. I said Warriors in six in the last episode. I'm sticking to that. That outcome is still possible even if Boston wins Game 2. I think the Warriors, yeah, I just, from seeing the Warriors so much over the years, I just don't see how they're just going to fold. I think they're definitely going to win a couple of these games here. And look, Boston, I mean, Boston had to win in seven games in their last two series. So they don't like making things easy for themselves either. So I think we're in for a really exciting series for the finals. But let's kind of move gears here to Jaden Hardy, 6'4 guard from the Ignite as well. Now, Jaden Hardy, I think his season with the Ignite has kind of hurt his stock. He was seen as like a top five prospect, I think, in his high school class. And he's now being viewed as this late first, early second. So he was like a top five player in his high school class. Ended up going to the G League. His stats in the G League, I'm going to pull them up here on my computer. But Jaden Hardy's stats in the G League, I think, weren't as strong as maybe people thought it would be. Played 12 games, 17 points per game, though. I mean, that's like four rebounds, three assists. So he showcased a lot of his scoring abilities, but also the number that stands out to me, and not in a good way, is his 27% from the three-point line. And that is going to be his biggest weakness that he needs to overcome. And I'm not sure exactly why. I didn't watch a whole lot of G League Ignite this past season. But I think with Jaden, like, it's a very small sample size, yes. So that's something to take into consideration. But also at the same time, like, that number has to get better. There's just no getting around it. Like, it's almost impossible to play in the NBA as a 6'4 guard and shoot less than 30%. Shoot less than 35%, honestly. Like, the league is starting to become that kind of league. And like, you look at the Rockets right now, like, that is where things need to improve. Reminds me a lot of Dacian Nix's situation from last season, just because Dacian Nix also went to the Ignite, probably didn't have as good of a season as he could have or as he wished. He ended up going undrafted, and I don't think that's what's going to happen with Jaden Hardy. I think Hardy was he was too good of a prospect in his class of 2021. And I also think that the draft class this year is weaker than last year's. So like Dacian Nix, the Rockets said they view him as a lottery pick. So like, that's the thing. It's like, if they view him as a lottery pick in this draft per se, like, that should kind of show you where Jaden Hardy stands with this class. I think he ends up being a second-round pick just because he has too much upside for teams to pass on him a second time. And there are a lot of teams in that second round with multiple picks, like the Orlando Magic have two picks in that early second round. I could see him going with one of those picks. I could see a lot of teams just take a flyer on him. The Rockets, though, I'm not as convinced, just because I feel like at guard, they're pretty set. I really would be shocked if a guard came to the Rockets in this draft. Maybe an undrafted guard, like you take a chance. Maybe you give him a two-way deal. Like, I'm okay with that. But I really have a hard time seeing the Rockets pass, like going for guards when you have bigger needs at rim protection and on the wing. I really just don't see the merit in taking a guy like that, unless the value is just way too good. Like if Jaden Hardy's there in like 30, like 4 years or something, and the Rockets want to, you know, go, hey, like, let's go and get, let's go and get a guy. I don't see an issue fully with that, but as long as they address the other needs as well, that's what I care about. And for me, I think Hardy has the potential to be a really good NBA player. I do think he'll spend most of next season in the G League again. I think he needs to have a bit more baking. But I will say there's a lot of upside there. He turns 20 this July. Like there's so much upside with a guy like Jaden Hardy. And I think he's going to have a similar G League season like Dacian Nix had this past year. But the guy that I really wanted to talk about, and I see we've got some people live with us here on Spotify Live, so I'm really excited that y'all are here for this part, because this is the real meat on the plate for this episode. I personally, for that number 17 pick, have a wish list, and at the top of that wish list is Marjon Beauchamp. I have seen a lot of these guys. We've been studying our list of guys for who could be at 17. Marjon Beauchamp is my top favorite at this moment. To me, he's like such a natural fit to what the Rockets currently have and to what they need. So he's a 6'6 wing. He's extremely athletic, very athletic wing at 6'6. And is just really good without the ball in his hands. And that's perfect for the Rockets, because there's a lot of guys on the Rockets now that need the ball in their hands, but not a lot of guys that play well without the ball in their hands. And Beauchamp is that guy. I am almost like begging Rafael Stone at this point to draft him, because he has so much athleticism, which, you know, matches what the Rockets are going for. He can work in transition, make the team even faster than where they were last year. And I think that is a huge part of the Rockets' success, is playing a really fast pace. And Beauchamp fills that right away. I don't think obviously everyone has an adjustment period to go from, you know, how fast the game is. But I do think that Jalen Green being on G League Ignite last season, the season before, helped him a little bit with that. And Beauchamp has that. I think the speed is faster in the G League, obviously, than college. So the adjustment period is less in the NBA. And Beauchamp is the guy that could be that perfect complement to Jalen Green, to Kevin Porter, as a guy that they can go pick and roll with. They can, you know, flash out to the corner with. They can, you know, lob it on the fast break. I see a lot of scenarios where Marjon Beauchamp fits into this Rockets team. On top of that, he is an above average defender on ball, and I think that is incredibly valuable. I'm like super, super amped about this. I mean, I did just watch like a lot of his highlights right before coming on to the show, so that's part of why I'm feeling this way about Marjon Beauchamp. But he just fills a lot of the needs that the Rockets currently have. I feel like he's just a natural fit. Obviously, there probably is some connection with him and Jalen Green already. That's also part of it. But look, the Rockets have a pipeline now, from Ignite to Rockets. And I really do think that could play a factor here. I think that there is just a lot of upside with him, and I just want to explore it. I do think he could be the three of the future. I really do. But given the fact also that the Rockets have to – the main thing the Rockets need to figure out this season is how in the hell are you going to play all of these guys with just one ball? You know, who's going to have to adjust to playing off ball? Jalen Green, as we've seen, is so much better with the ball in his hands. And I don't know if I could go through another season where Jalen Green is not having the ball in his hands. Like, he needs to be the guy. It starts with Jalen Green and then you work your way down. I think Kevin Porter could find his way into that as well. But also as the team's quote unquote point guard, I think he needs the ball in his hands as well. You look at Alperen Şengün's play creation. That is important as well. Christian Wood's also a guy that needs the ball in his hands if he stays on the team next year, which if he does, I don't expect him to be on the team at the end of the season. I do think that they'll look for a deal for him either this offseason or at the trade deadline. But then you have guys like KJ Martin and Marjon Beauchamp on each side of the wing, and then you have Kevin Porter and Jalen Green in the backcourt with Şengün or Paolo. Like, that is, I could see that, and that would be such an exciting group of players. I don't know how well they'd play together, but they would certainly try to run teams out of the gym, and that might be an effective strategy to win some of these games. Like, there are teams that can track me their way through the regular season. I do think that it could be more of an issue come playoff time, but I also think that the goal right now shouldn't exactly be, oh, we need to build a playoff caliber roster. We need to build a talented basketball roster, because the Rockets, although they are talented compared to the rest of the league, are lacking in that department. You need to go and get talent. And you do need to define your roles a little bit better. And I feel like with Beauchamp, there's not a whole lot of adjustments that he would need to make from his time with Ignite and be able to translate it to the Rockets. Like, it's like he could play the exact same role and he could play it well. And I do think that the Rockets are kind of in a position now to where they do need to define the roles a little bit more, and they need to play a little bit less fluid, if you are picking up what I'm putting down. They need to simply be able to have just a little bit more organization. I'm not saying a lot, but they need to be a little bit more organized in how they are concocting a plan. So that's kind of how I feel. I've got some questions here from Sean in the audience, so I'm going to answer them right now. So Dylan Terry, second round guard, or Jaden Hardy. Yeah, I think Dylan Terry, I don't know if we're going to talk about him in coming episodes, but from what I've seen from him, another high upside second round guy. That's what you get in the second round, right? You try to go for guys that are just really high upside, and you hope that they work out. And look, a lot of guys do. Like, second round picks have had a lot of success in the NBA lately. I think it's because they're being given more opportunities. And I think a lot of that, though, is luck. I do think that a lot of luck plays in terms of you're on a team that wants to play you, that has the minutes, they can play for you. Like, you look at Ayodele Sumu, when he played for the Bulls last year, got playing time, and he was effective in those minutes. But then again, like, the guy that was drafted, you know, before Ayodele Sumu, I don't know exactly if he played as much as he did. So I'm like, you're looking at last year's class. And, you know, a lot of things go, you know, this is just one example. Like, yeah, Ayodele Sumu had much more opportunity than JT Thor did with the pick right before him. JT Thor, you know, played in just 33 games, averaged 2 points per game. Not as strong as DeSumo's numbers, where he was a rotational guy on a playoff team, played in, you know, started 40 games, played in 77, 8.8 points per game. So Sean's saying, would you draft Marjon Beauchamp over Usman Jiang or Tari Eason if they were there? At this point, Usman Dieng is definitely up there for me. I have a hard time seeing how Tari Eason falls to 17. We'll be talking about both of those guys in the coming episodes, but I feel like Jang, the difference with him is that he's more of what Garuba is. I feel like Usman Dieng and Usman Garuba are both very similar, whereas I think there's enough variation between Beauchamp and Usman Garuba to where they could coexist. And ultimately, I really don't think the Rockets are trying to just throw everything away on Garuba. They drafted him for a reason, clearly, in the first round, when they really didn't need to. I mean, they already had two first-round picks, and they were at least getting one more. They really like Garuba, I think they're willing to give him a shot. But that shouldn't stop them from drafting someone that is similar to him that could take minutes away from him, which is why Paolo is going to be probably that third pick. And then you look at a guy like Usman Dieng, who should be on the Rockets' radar. I'm almost positive he is. But Beauchamp is a little bit more athletic than Dieng, and he plays a little bit differently. Like, he probably list as more of a three, whereas I feel Dieng is more of a four, small ball five. If I'm not mistaken, Usman Dieng is I think 6'10". Yeah, he's 6'10". He's more of a center. So, like, I feel like with him, he fits that role, but like they're different roles, I guess you could say. So it's hard to compare the two, but I think Beauchamp just fills more of a need for the Rockets at this point. He's a skinny 6'10". And then Sean asked one more question. How would Banchero or Ivy work on a team with Green and Porter creating? That's a very good point. Because I do think that is probably the main issue here with Banchero is, like, you know, is he going to get those touches and is he going to be effective with those touches? I saw a highlight reel recently on Twitter of Paolo Banchero and then it was like he would do a move and then Jason Tatum would do the exact same thing. And it was insane. I think you're looking at more of where the Rockets are talking about. I see him as more of like a Chris Middleton, as a guy that could get his own bucket, as a guy that could create, but you're looking at Jalen Green as more of your Giannis. He's who you run your offense through. And then you have a guy like Kevin Porter, be a Drew Holiday, as your defensive start, but also can set up the offense and slow it down when things need to be slowed down. That's, like, I think the main play, because what we've seen in the playoffs, you know, and I think with Kevin Porter, what they're trying to do, like, I really do think they want him to be on the team when they're good again. And in order to be good in the playoffs, you need to be able to play a traditional half-court offense. At least from what we've seen in these playoffs, defense is far more important, the transition game, not as much. And I feel like the Rockets are kind of at that point to where they need to build a good regular season team first, and then you tweak it and you find ways to get better in the postseason. And I think Kevin Porter's going to have to learn how to slow the game down a little bit. Not necessarily right away. I still want him to figure things out, but I think that's kind of the progression that the Rockets are trying to take. Start just getting talent in the building and then work your way there. And I think last season that was kind of the MO as well. They really were starting from scratch before, like, Kevin Porter was really their only guy that they were kind of, okay, he could be the future. Maybe Jay Sean Tate as well, KJ Martin. But then after that, like you can't really build a team off of those three guys. Now that you have Jalen Green, you have Şengün, you have Christopher, now you have another top three pick that you're going to add. Now you have, you know, six first round picks in two seasons. You're going to have a much more less bare cupboard. Like, your cupboard's going to be a little bit more filled now that you have these guys in your tow. And now you can find out what they do, figure out how you can create something delicious with the ingredients that you have. So that's ultimately, like, what the Rockets have right now. You have your meat, you have your potatoes. Let's get a little spice in there. that's what the Rockets are looking to do in this draft. I think Paolo brings that, and he does elevate your team, and he makes your team a lot better from where they were. Jaden Ivey does the same too. Now, I'm not going to say that Jaden Ivey shouldn't be the pick. Like, Mike and I feel very differently about this. He prefers Ivey. I prefer Paolo. And Paolo honestly has been my number one since we started. Like, if they had the number one pick, I would say go Paolo Banchero. But I think with Ivy, I just don't feel like he would be his best self if he was in Houston. And it's for the same reasons that, you know, it just, there wouldn't be a whole lot of hierarchy. I could see this, like, Ivy's strengths are the same as Jalen Green's and as, you know, Kevin Porter's, a quick first step and an ability to score without the ball in your hands. I just feel like they already have that and they need to find other ways. You know, a lot of these teams in the playoffs right now, you know, like they need a second level scorer. They need a front court creator. It just totally changes your team. Kevin Durant, and I'm not saying that Paolo is going to be Kevin Durant, but like, I'm just using examples of teams that have a second creator in the front court that it allows you to kind of, you know, make things the way it was. But I feel like, and Sean, you make a good point where you say the Rockets' best lineup post Hakeem days were with Gordon, Harden, and Paul in a three guard lineup. I could see, like, they could do that with Josh Christopher. Like, I think the Rockets' best lineups last season were with Porter, Christopher, and Kevin Porter, or excuse me, and Jalen Green. Ivy is like a guy, like, Ivy is a guy that you can go and he can just go out and get you a bucket. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's obviously, you know, ideal. I just don't see how he makes your team better from a defensive, you know, like, from a defensive standpoint. I feel like at that point you're really undersized. And because, like, you've got to, it's going to be hard to play. Like, you can't play those three guard lineups all the time. And that three guard lineup that you're referencing was used to beat the Warriors. And the Warriors are an enigma because they have been like the sole exception to the rule where you don't need a front court man to really be able to, you know, make a difference, or at least a front court shot creator, we'll say. But where the league's going, you're going to need a front court creator. And I think the Rockets should go out and get Paolo Banchero just for that reason alone. Or Jabari Smith or Chet, whoever falls into that point. Now, I will say, though, if for whatever reason, I really don't think this is going to happen, but if Chet is available at number three and Ivy is there at number three, you could sway me. Like, I could be swayed towards Ivy. Because I just feel like Chet worries me in terms of, like, is he going to be able to stay healthy? And is he really going to be an all-defensive player in the league? Which is, like, why he's projected to be a top three pick right now, is because he can be that all-NBA defensive kind of guy. But I just am unsure if he's going to be able to fulfill that. Because 7 foot skinny guys just don't have an excellent track record in the NBA. It's Kevin Durant, and that's about it. And Chet is nowhere near the same kind of shot creator as Durant is. And I feel like Durant's probably more than 200, at least in his best form. As a rookie, maybe he was a bit undersized, but he's been able to build that. But Chet and KD are very different players. So, yeah, I think this is kind of a good place to park the rocket ship. Team Marjon Beauchamp is me, Jeremy Brenner. I'm leading the ship here on Team Marjon Beauchamp. That's really about the main thing I want to get away with this podcast. But thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. Thank you to those who were able to listen live on Spotify Live. We'll be back on Wednesday. The pod will be released Wednesday, but we'll record live on Tuesday. Mike has a couple more prospects up his sleeve than he's going on Tuesday's episode. And yeah, be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at Dream Shake SBN. Head over to our website, thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. And be sure to follow me on Twitter if you'd like, at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets!